If you have your Bible or however you access the Word, whether it's on your phone, your tablet, or whatever, just turn with me, if you will, please, over to the book of Ezekiel, and we are going to read one single verse from Ezekiel chapter 22, Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30. So while you're turning there, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30, while you're turning there, let me give you just a little bit of context of the scripture that we are about to read. Ezekiel was a prophet of God, given this specific word by God at a time when the children of Israel had kind of turned their back upon the Lord. Every man was following after his own heart. Even the priests, if you read chapter 22, even the priests had made no difference between that which was good or that which was evil. They were taking advantage of the people of God, devouring, the scripture says, the widows. And God speaks this word to Ezekiel in the midst of all of this, because God is wanting to get his voice in the game. He's wanting to be heard. And he says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." And some of the saddest words found in Scripture are the last part of that verse. God says, "But I found none. I sought for a man among them in the midst of all of this evil and in the midst of all of this corruption. I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap and make up a hedge so that I would not have to bring judgment upon the land. But God concludes that I could not find one. I could not find any." And I'm going to just stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let's pray together for the Lord's anointing. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful this morning that you have given us an opportunity to come into the house of the Lord. I'm thankful this morning for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we sense as we have worshiped you and as we have elevated and lifted you up in our worship. And we come to the reading of your word and the ministry of your word. And Father, in my own self, I am inadequate. But if you will touch me and if you will anoint me with the anointing of your Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to come alongside and fill in what I cannot accomplish on my own, bless me that I may be a blessing to those that hear. I know, Father, that through your anointing, the Word of God says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I know your anointing will give us liberty and give us life and speak life-giving words to us. This morning, I would ask, Lord, that you would anoint me for your work and for your ministry. I pray you put your words in my mind, your words in my heart, and your words in my mouth, and let them come forth under the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Let them fall upon ears that are eager to hear and to receive what the Spirit would say to the church. And above everything, Lord, I pray that Jesus will be glorified and that people will be edified through the ministry of the word this morning. And we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. So as you can see, I would like to title my message this morning, "Prerequisites for Being Used by God." Prerequisites for being used by God. I want you this morning, as we begin, I want you to just imagine what heaven must have looked like. God, the creator of the earth, the almighty, the all-powerful God, is searching and looking for someone. He is searching and he is looking for a man or a woman that would be willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, as he puts it, so that he would not need to bring judgment or destruction upon the people. But he says, I cannot find one. What God was saying through the mouth of the prophet is, I'm looking for someone that I can employ. I am looking for someone that I can utilize to do my will. I am looking for someone that I can count on to be my representative. I'm looking for someone that I can use, someone that will be a vessel in my hand. God is looking and God is searching. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 9 that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of him whose heart is perfect toward God. Stop and think about that this morning. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth so that he might make himself known and manifest himself through his witnesses, through his representatives. God is saying, I'm looking for someone that I can show myself strong in. I'm looking for someone that I can use. I am looking for a willing vessel. And the question that I felt like the Holy Spirit put upon my heart for this service this morning is, are you willing to be that vessel? How many of you here this morning could honestly say, not in just passing, but from the honesty of your heart, how many of you could say, I desire to be used of God. I want God to use me. How many of us here this morning could say, I want God to be able to accomplish his will in my life. I want God to be able to accomplish work for the kingdom of God by him using my life to further his purpose and his cause. If that's your heart this morning, just lift your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I want to be used by God in whatever capacity. I want to be used by God. And if you lifted your hand this morning, then I have some good news. God is looking for you. I said, if you lifted your hand this morning, I got good news. God is looking for you. You say, Pastor Gary, God doesn't need me. God is God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and whenever he wants to do it. God don't need me. Hello? Well, let me just point out to you this morning that every time through the course of Scripture, when God got ready to do something in this earth, he called a man or a woman to do it. Amen. Let me give you a couple of examples. When God heard the cry of the children of Israel there in Egypt's bondage, God called a man by the name of Moses. And he said, I need you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. When there was a giant that needed to be slain in the valley of Elah, a giant that had withstood the armies of God for 40 days and 40 nights, that had stepped out every day, 40 days and 40 nights, and challenged the armies of God. God said, I need somebody. And he found a little shepherd boy by the name of David. Amen. He always has sought for a man or a woman that he could work through. When God got ready to send his son into this world, he found a little Jewish virgin girl by the name of Mary. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Yes, God is God. He could do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, but he has always manifested himself, amen, to accomplish his will through you and I. He's always used, amen. And he says that I sought for a man or a woman that will, amen, be willing to allow me to accomplish my will and do what I'm desiring to do in this earth. How many of you believe that God doesn't just want to sit on the sidelines in this wicked world that we live in? God doesn't just want to sit on the sidelines and turn his back. I believe God's wanting to get some skin in the game, and he does that through you and I. And if you're sincere and you are truly desiring to be used of God, then I have some good news for you. God is looking for you. But, how many of you know there's always a but? But we need to understand that there are some prerequisites that we need to fulfill. There are some preconditions for us to fulfill in order for God to be able to use us. Somebody said, Pastor Gary, I'm not perfect. Can I tell you something? That none of us are. And the good news is that you may be desiring to be used of God, and the four prerequisites that I feel like the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart to bring to you this morning, not one of them, not one of those 4 points that I'm about to preach is that we have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. Now listen here, this is what the scripture says. Somebody said, well, what about Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48? This is what Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 says. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How many of you know that scripture was translated out of the Greek? That word perfect, and we take that word perfect to mean perfection without flaw. That's not what that word perfect in the Greek means. Understand that this verse does not mean that we have to be perfect in the sense of perfection. And it doesn't mean that we have to be without fault. But what it means is that we have to be full age or full maturity, striving to be a complete a Christian, or striving to be complete in our Christian character. Even as our Father in heaven. In other words, he's telling us that we need to be continually striving to fully complete our Christian character. He's not telling us that we have to be perfect in the sense of perfection, because all of us know that we could never measure up to that. I know we have some folks that think they are perfect and they are angelic because they are always up in the air harping about something. Right? But I'm just going to tell you this morning, there are no perfects among us. What there are this morning among us is a lot of broken vessels that have been mended by the hand of God. Amen. We don't have to be perfect. We need to be continually striving to be fully complete in our Christian character. And he's telling us that we should continually to strive to be like our Father in heaven. So there are some people that think because they are not perfect that they are disqualified from being used by God. Some of you, the enemy have come around and sat on your shoulder and said, you can't, you never will do anything for God. Look what you have done. Well, let me just tell you this morning, amen, God used Abraham, and at one time Abraham was a liar. He lied to the king, said his wife is not my wife, she's my sister. You remember reading that story? And yet God used him. Moses at one time was a murderer, and yet God used him. Samson was a womanizer, and yet God used him. Paul was a persecutor of the first century church, and yet God used him. David was both an adulterer and a murderer. And the Bible said that Elijah, the Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 17, that he was a man of like passions as we are. He was just like us, and yet God used him. What I'm saying this morning is we need to understand that we don't have to be perfect as far as perfection goes in order for God to use us. Now understand that I'm not saying that we can live like the devil and expect God to use us. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying that is if we are striving to be obedient, and if we are striving to live a complete and surrendered life unto God, and there are failures in our past or faults in our life, it does not disqualify us from being used by God. I submit to you this morning that God will often use us in spite of our shortcomings. I'm an example of that myself. My wife will be the first one to tell you, Pastor hadn't got it all together. Hello? Amen. God uses us in spite of our shortcomings. He's not looking for perfection in the sense of perfect. He's looking for an obedient, willing heart that he can use for his glory. So with that in mind this morning, I do feel like the Holy Spirit shared with me four things that we need to be in order to be used of God. And perfect is not one of them. But here are the four things that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart. The first thing that we need to be in order to be used of God is available. Availability is critical. It is a critical component if we are going to be used by God. It is a critical factor if we're going to be used for the kingdom of God. God cannot use us if we will not make ourselves available unto him. We need to be available. If I'm a mechanic and I need a 9/16 wrench, and my 9/16 wrench got up out of my toolbox and went to Houston's house, I have one, but it is not available. I just slid that in. So the same is true about our life when it comes to our service with God. God is looking for a man or a woman that he can use, but if we are not making ourselves available, he can never use us. We have to be available. Beloved, sometimes we get so caught up in chasing one thing or another that we fail to make ourselves available for God's use. God lays it upon our heart to pray for someone, but we are too busy to take the time to pray. God encourages us or lays it upon our heart to help someone, but we are too busy to take the time to help. God encourages us to go visit with someone. Amen. And we're too busy to go visit with them. Really, what we're saying is, Lord, I am not available. I'm not available for your service. God is looking for the available. Here is a little story the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance as I was studying and praying for this message. You'll read it in Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 1 through verse 8. The Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up. And his robe, his train filled the temple. I've shared with you in the past, in the Eastern custom, they wore long trains or long flowing robes. And the longer the train, the more excellent the royalty. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord and he was so high and he was so lifted up that his train, it filled the entire temple. He was high and lifted up. And he said, I saw him, and he said, and above him stood the seraphims with six wings. Two, they did fly. Amen. And with two, they covered their face, and two, amen, they did fly. And he said, and the seraphims cried one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah said, when I saw him, when I saw his majesty, I said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He recognized his condition in the presence of God. And he said, one of the seraphims took a coal from off of the altar with the tongs from off of the altar and laid it to my lips and said, lo, this hath touched thee. And your sins are cleansed and your iniquity is purged. And then Isaiah says, and I heard the Lord say, who will go for us? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah looks around and he doesn't see any volunteers. And so Isaiah says, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll make myself available for your service. Let me just tell you what the Spirit of the Lord put on my heart, amen, concerning this point. Oftentimes we get so busy with life and running here and there and doing and going and doing this, and our attention is on that and our attention is on something else. And God is saying, look, if you want to be used by me, then you got to make yourself available. But if you make yourself available like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. God said, I got to work for every single one of you to do. I just need you to be available. I just need you. God was searching for someone to deliver a message in Isaiah's day. And Isaiah saw the need in the heart of God. And he saw that there were no one else available. And he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll go. That ought to be our attitude. Lord, here am I. I'll make the phone call. I'll help where I can help. Amen. I'll visit who you have me want me to. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Amen. I'm make myself available so we can further the work of the kingdom of God. But Pastor Gary, I'm not qualified. Let me just tell you this morning, God is not looking for the qualified, and God is not looking for the gifted. He's not looking for the exceptional or the extraordinary. He's not looking for the outstanding or the remarkable. He's looking for the available. He's looking for the available. He can take a broken vessel like myself and make me an instrument in his hand. He can pick us up, beloved, and he can make us a blessing to the kingdom of God. You may not feel like you have much to offer. You may have some faults in your past, and you may have some faults in your current life, but I got some good news for you. If you desire to be used of God, God, amen, has a work for you to do, and God will empower you to do that work. He's looking for the available. Amen. And when we make ourselves and our resources available to God, he can do great things with our lives. I'll give you a modern day example of what I'm trying to say this morning. Here a while back, there was a family here in Emmett that their water main, the line from the water main to their home, had collapsed. They had been without water for 3 weeks. The Ministerial Association contacted me and let me know about their situation. They had found a plumber that was willing to donate his time and do the work. But they needed money for the material to put in the water main. So the Lord laid it upon my heart to provide the material. And what I'm saying this morning is because you were faithful and you made yourselves available and you made your resources available, God was able to use Elevation Worship Center to minister to that family and provide the material to get the water running back in the house. You say, Pastor Gary, do you know the family? I do not. But here's what I can tell you. That family knows that there is a group of Christian people in this Emmett Valley that love God and love people and are willing to put their money where their mouth is. And because you made yourself available, we were able to minister to someone else. Amen. What I'm saying this morning, we've done that over and over and over again. What I'm saying this morning is when we make ourselves and our resources available to God, God can take what we have and turn it into much and bless those, amen, that are around us. But we have to be available. If you want to be used by God, make yourself available. If you want to be used by God, make yourself available. Number two, the second prerequisite is that we must be faithful. We need to be available and we need to be faithful. Let me give you some examples of faithfulness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 5 that Moses was faithful in all of his house. Moses was faithful, and that's why God used him. The Bible says of Abraham in Galatians chapter 3 verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The testimony that God gives of Abraham was that he was faithful, and that's why God used him. When God got ready to replace King Saul, because Saul had disobeyed God. Saul had turned his back upon the word of the Lord. And when God got ready to replace the king in Israel, he found a little shepherd boy by the name of David that had been faithfully watching over the sheep. Now, maybe you know that David, out of his own mouth, when he testified about watching over the sheep, he said, there was a lion and a bear that came, and I defended the sheep, and I slew the bear, and I slew the lion. How many of you know that you got to be a faithful guy in order to take on a bear and a lion? Right? So God saw that David was faithful. He risked his own life for the sheep. He had been given a responsibility. Amen. And he had been given a responsibility to take care of the sheep. And even in the face of danger, he was willing to step up to the plate and rise up and say, I will protect them. That's faithful. And that's why God used him to be king. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 75 and verse number 6 that promotion does not come from the east, amen, or the west or from the south, but it comes from God. God pulls down one and he sets up another. And when God sets up someone, he sets up those that have been faithful. It means that God is the judge and he judges our faithfulness. And if we are faithful in the little things, then God can trust us with more. No, I won't say that. How can God trust us with great things? I'm rewording it. How can God trust us with great things if he can't trust us with little things? How many of you would like to depend upon someone, put someone in charge of something, when you know they're not faithful? You don't know if it's going to get done or not. Hello? Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. He said, he that is faithful in very little. If you're willing to empty the trash at church, if you're willing to sweep the floor, if you're willing to vacuum the carpets, if you're willing to do the little things, He that is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. God is saying, if I can trust you to do the little thing, if you will be faithful in the little things, I can promote you to greater things. But in order to be used by God, we must be faithful. God is saying that if I cannot trust you to be faithful in the little things, I know that I cannot trust you in greater things. The second prerequisition is that we must be faithful. None of us would count on someone doing something of importance for us if we knew that we couldn't count on them. So if we're going to be used of God, then we must be available and we must be faithful. We can't be wishy-washy. You know, people these days are so wishy-washy. I don't know if that's really a word, wishy-washy, but where I grew up, it was a word. And people wishy that way one day and washy that way the next day, and you never can't count on them. We can't be like that. If God is going to be able to trust us to do good things for his kingdom, we have to be faithful. Number three, we have to be willing, available, faithful, and willing. When Gabriel showed up to Mary and gave her the good news that she was going to conceive without ever being with a man and said, you're going to give birth to the Son of God, no doubt Mary must have known that that wasn't going to be very convenient, wasn't going to look good on her resume, was going to be tough on her reputation, right? How was she ever going to explain to her fiancé that I am with child? And he's like, I don't know how that happened. How would people in the community react? How would Joseph react? But here's what she said in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. This is what she said. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. What Mary was saying in modern English was, okay, I'm your huckleberry. Okay, I'm willing. One of my all-time favorite movies. Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody walked on your grave. When Jesus, there in the garden in Gethsemane, he's facing the cross, and here's what he prays. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the cross. If there's any other way, if there's some other way, then somehow, some way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I'm willing. I don't care what the cost is. I don't care who talks about me. I don't care who badmouths me. I don't care how many people turn their back on me. Whatever the cost, Lord, whatever the cost, I am willing to do your will. We have to be available, we have to be faithful, and we have to be willing. God gave all of us this little thing called free will. It started in the garden. God said, you can have anything you want of any tree in this garden except that one. And then God let them exercise their free will. How many of you know he didn't make them not to eat from that tree? He gave them their free will. You and I have our free will this morning. We have to be available, faithful, and willing. We must be willing in order to be used of God. Many years ago, I was headstrong, headed in the opposite direction of where I am today, because I was chasing my own dreams and my own things. And God came along and spoke to my heart and turned my life around. But I had to be willing to follow. when God spoke to your heart, you had to be willing to say yes. Amen. God comes to us oftentimes with things that he desires for us to do. And all he's looking for is a willing and available individual. And he can do great things with those kinds of folks. The fourth condition that the Holy Spirit laid upon my heart is that we must be committed. We must be committed, available, faithful, willing, and committed. Committed. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Committed means dedicated, steadfast, loyal, devoted, unwavering, unmovable, unshakable, committed, determined. God's saying, I got to be able to count on you. I want you to commit your way, Psalms 37 and 5, commit your way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 16 and 3, commit thy ways or thy works unto the Lord, and so shall thy thoughts be established. What God is saying is I need to have a committed heart. I need to have someone with the attitude that says, come hell, high water, as for me and my house, we will serve. Serve the Lord. I remember years ago on the evangelistic field, I'm preaching revival. I was preaching a camp meeting up in Coeur d'Alene. Actually, just out of Coeur d'Alene, along the Coeur d'Alene River. And they had stretched a big tent. There was about 8 or 10 churches that all come together. And we were having a week's worth of camp meeting. And I was the evening speaker. And I remember after... after being there several nights, there was a gentleman that came to me and said, will you come to my church on Sunday morning and preach? And preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. So I said, well, let me pray about it. And I went home that night, prayed about it, and felt like the Lord gave me liberty to go. And so I told the man the following night, I said, we conclude here Friday. I'll come over on Saturday and then we'll be prepared to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. So I arrived at this dear brother's house. And when I went in, I have never seen such filth in my entire life. There were dishes with mold stacked on the kitchen table and on the counters. And I'm like, I'm getting a motel. He said, you hungry? And I went, no, actually, I'm fasting, brother. Yeah. I'm supposed to be spending the evening with him. And I'm just like, I'm a neat freak, you know. I've never seen anything like that in my life. And they... their home was the basement of the church, and the sanctuary of the church was beautiful. I ended up sleeping on the platform, face down before God. And so, we'll make a long story short, I preached that Sunday morning, I preached that night, and on the way home, after I left, because I left that night after the service, and on the way home, I am complaining. I mean, I am telling God what for. Why in the world did you send me there? I mean, before I committed to do this, Lord, I prayed about it. I mean, I talked to you about it. I felt like you said it was all right. Why in the world? You know I can't take that kind of thing. Why in the world did you have me go there? And I had to repent after the Lord said what he said to me. He just softly said in my heart, because I knew you'd go and because I knew you were committed. And they needed to hear what you had to say. I'm like, okay, God. All right. Guess it wasn't that bad. They gave me $20 in the offering and a Pepsi. That made it even that much worse. I'm telling you, that made it that much rougher. But what I'm saying is we have to be not only available, we have to not only be faithful, and we have to not only be willing, but we have to be committed. It may cost us something. It may cost us some uncomfort. It may cost us some things. But we have to be willing to pay that price. We have to be committed. We have to be committed. We have to be willing to say, you know, it doesn't matter if I am faced with adversity. It doesn't matter if I'm faced with hardship. It doesn't matter if I'm faced with troubles, trials, and situations on all hands. It doesn't matter. I am committed to the cause. I'm committed to the work of the Lord. I'm committed to it. Our attitude must be whatever it costs, whatever it takes. Here I am, Lord, I will do it. And then be willing to follow through. And be willing to follow through. I can't tell you this morning how much I appreciate the individuals in our worship team or on our worship team. They are here. They're faithful. They are committed. And that's why God uses them. Are you blessed when they begin to worship and begin to play and begin to sing in honor of the Lord? Are you blessed? Amen. Amen. And God uses them because they are faithfully and they are committed and they're here. I can't tell you how grateful that I am for the Sunday school teachers that minister every Sunday to our children. And they're here faithfully committed every week. It's a rarity when we see any of them take off. I'm grateful this morning and I'm thankful for every single board member that serves at Elevation Worship Center. I'm thankful for our secretary this morning who faithfully keeps the bills paid and faithfully keeps the book. God uses all of them because they're faithful and they're committed. I'm thankful for the security team, amen, that works out in the front so that we can worship the Lord without fear of some lunatic coming in and shooting up the crowd. I'm thankful that God has placed individuals in ministry that's willing to be available and faithful and committed to the work of God. And God uses them because they are willing and they are faithful and they've made themselves available. You hear what I'm saying this morning? God uses them because they have made themselves available and they are faithful and they're willing and they're committed to the cause. That's what all of us this morning need to strive to do. Those are the prerequisites of being used by God. If you are available, if you're faithful, and you're willing and you're committed, God can use each one of us in a great way. Now, let me end as I began. How many of you would like to be used by God? Going to cost you something. Going to cost you your availability. Hello? Going to cost you your willingness. You're going to have to say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Ministry doesn't just happen. Serving others doesn't just happen. Being used by God doesn't happen just circumstantially. No, it happens because we make ourselves available. Because we make ourselves available and we're faithful and we're willing and we're committed. And God can use an individual like that. Bow your heads. Good news this morning. If you desire to be used of God, God is looking for you. He's looking for individuals like you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to share what you laid upon my heart. I'm grateful this morning, Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit that I have sensed as we've preached. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that we all desire to be used greatly to further the work of your kingdom. I believe that we desire to be a witness of your love and your majesty and your mercy and your glory. I believe with all of my heart, God, that you desire for each one of us to be available at your beck and call. That we submit our will to your will, that we faithfully are willing and faithfully committed to your work. This morning, I just simply ask, Father, that you would help us understand that there is a cost, there is preconditions to being used in your kingdom. You cannot use the unavailable. You cannot use the unfaithful. You cannot use the unwilling. You cannot use the uncommitted. Help us to faithfully submit to your will. Faithfully serve and faithfully make ourselves available to your hands so that the kingdom of God may grow and flourish. That others may come in relationship and in contact with your Son, Jesus. I pray all of these things this morning, Lord, in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to slip up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, I haven't been so faithful. I haven't been so committed. I haven't been. See, God sees some hands being lifted. Pastor Gary, I haven't been so available lately. Yeah, God sees some hands. Now, let me just ask you this morning. You want to change that? You want to make yourself available? You want to make yourself faithful? You want to make yourself available to the hand of the Lord? Then just lift up your hand and say, Lord, yes, I do. I want to be that faithful, available servant. I want to be that faithful, available individual, committed to the cause of my Jesus. God sees every hand that's being lifted here today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for touching our hearts with your word. When we leave this place, let us leave encouraged, knowing that, Lord, you have spoke to us for our own good. Bless our lives as we leave this house. Minister, I pray, O God, to every heart this morning. Minister, O God, the ability through your Holy Spirit to be available for your work in Jesus' name. Come on and sing.